The Palestine Report with Hafez Ibrahim Musa.
Hafez, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran.
So, Israeli unleashes on Palestinian detainees violence during brazen prison raid. Tell us about that.
Truly, Mara, we have 6,000 Palestinian prisoners, as we know, that are scattered through different Israeli facilities, both within the state of Israel as well as the occupied Palestinian territories. And a disproportionate or big percentage of these prisoners, up to one-sixth of them, are actually housed in a facility called the Offer Prison, which is near Ramallah in the occupied West Bank. And Palestinian prisoners, as human rights organizations have documented quite clearly, are never exempt from, you know, torture or heavy-handed practices in these Israeli facilities. Included amongst them, searches of their bodies, searches of their cells, etc. But what happened at the Offer Prison in the last week seems to have trespassed many of these bounds, in the scale of what occurred, and at the same time, the fact that this has been blasted all over the Israeli media and the Israeli, authorities seem to be wanting to make some sort of point about what occurred at this particular prison. So now, based on what has been reported in our Haaretz by Amira Haas, just trying to piece together what has actually occurred last week between Sunday and Tuesday, it started off with members from an Israeli intervention unit coming into the cells of prisoners, purportedly to look for cell phones in a kind of routine search. During the process of this, according to one account, an incident occurs. The Israelis thereafter fire stun grenades into the prison, the various cells. Shooting is heard by fellow prisoners. Now, fellow prisoners in some of the other cells who don't know what's going on, standard procedure for them, Palestinian prisoners, is to start to bang on doors just to, express their uncertainty at what is going on. The response from the Israelis to this is to mobilize more forces, amongst them elite special forces. They come to the prison doors of all the cells, the little hatch that opens, a small trap door that opens, wherein they give food to prisoners. Through this, they spray tear gas into these various cells. Thereafter, they seal this little hatch, and now that the cells filled up with tear gas, after a few minutes, they enter with dogs, the elite forces, they enter with batons, they enter with pepper spray and rifles, and obviously a total scene of chaos ensues. We don't know exactly what happens in the period. Palestinian prisoners, with the little that they have on hand, respond, and they set mattresses within these cells on fire. And one can just imagine in these small spaces a sort of chaos that ensued in the space. We don't have a full picture of what had occurred, but we know the aftermath. After the calm had settled, the Israelis, some sort of de facto calm prevails, but the Israelis impose further restrictions on the prisoners. There are reports that about 150 of these prisoners have been killed. There's broken noses. There's been hit with metal-coated rubber bullets. There's broken bones. One of the prisoners has a tear gas canister in his chest. There's dogs who have scratched the faces of prisoners. Reports of lots of blood on the floor. And the Israeli story on all of this is that it was that there were riots, and they had to respond to this. After there were fires in particular cells, but what we know after this is Palestinians in this prison for a while refused to take their food. In other facilities, Palestinian prisoners have mounted a hunger strike, and many people have pointed the finger at the Israeli Public Security Minister, Gilad Erdan, who has said that he is using these measures to teach Palestinian prisoners a lesson, also to drum up support ahead of the Israeli elections. And among the things that he has said previously, that he wants to reduce the standards of Palestinian prisoners to the bare minimum and even ration their access to water.
Now we have a new precedent, Israeli settlers physically entering the Dome of the Rock during a provocative visit.
This happened last week, Thursday, Morana, but I just want to backtrack a bit and put a bit of this in context. On our previous report, we mentioned the Israeli raid on the siege on the Dome of the Rock. That too was unprecedented, a week prior, where between an altercation between the guards of the masjid as well as Israeli police, they physically shut down the entire Dome of the Rock and a siege lasting about 6 hours. In the wake of that, what we had is the Israeli police barring many Palestinian guards of the masjid, some of them arresting them and giving them banning orders for periods up to 6 months. And then in the week that followed, or the last week from last Monday to Sunday, just a chronological order of what happened. Monday, we have Israeli officers touring Masjid al-Aqsa, photographing landmarks and taking measurements of different structures at the masjid. This is according to Palestinian media reports. You have demonstrations by the members of the Awqaf against the measures taken against the masjid guards. And here comes the particular incident we're honing in on, which is last week Thursday, where the settlers enter the woman's space. A woman at Masjid al-Aqsa pray within the Dome of the Rock. They enter the Dome of the Rock to a tour, and this is totally unprecedented, because usually when the settlers come, they tour the open spaces at Masjid al-Aqsa, but physically, very seldom or never would go into the Qibli Musalla or the Dome of the Rock. So they physically enter this. Accompanied with them is a police chief, Yoram Halifi, as well as veterans from the Israeli society who had occupied the city in 1967. That happens on Thursday. Then over the weekend, we have an Israeli minister of culture and sport, Miri Regev, who toured the old city with a camera crew, obviously with the idea of publicizing this greatly. So the background to all of this is the scene to all of this is the Israeli elections coming up. We know that Ariel Sharon back in 2000 also did something similar to try and drum up support for his election campaign. And I think more than any previous election in the state of Israel, what we have now is Masjid al-Aqsa becoming a very big electoral issue, and the way for people to assert this on the agenda is by physically making visits, trying to go beyond what people have done previously, and this is reflected in a statement from the Islamic Awqaf at Masjid al-Aqsa which said this week that the militarization of Masjid al-Aqsa and the program of Jewish incursions came in the context of electoral propaganda for the extreme right, and what comes in the next period, and we should be very cautious of its hidden effects.
Now, Palestinian death toll rises across all regions this week.
Yes, we have within the last 3 or 4 days, at least 4 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli forces. We have Hamdi Nassim, 38 years old. He was killed near Ramallah. Riyad Shamasne, he was killed at the Damascus Gate, also in January the 26th in Jerusalem. Beitaya, we had Ayman Hamid, 18 years old, killed near Siwad, near Ramallah. And prior to that, of the same day, actually, January the 25th, 25 year old, he had Ahmed killed in Gaza. In the past week, we had another Palestinian killed at the checkpoint in the West Bank, and Israeli shelling on the Gaza Strip killed another. So the point of all of this is obviously these are our victims, these are people with names and stories, and whether their bombs are falling or not, this Palestinian death toll continues to rise, even though sometimes it might not make the main headlines.
And then finally, online campaign in support of the women of Jerusalem.
Yes, an interesting hashtag that has been created here, Mulana. It's called Kulluna Maryam, or We Are All Maryam, or sometimes the English hashtag We Are All Mary is used. And the idea behind this is inspired by Sayyidina Maryam, radiallahu anha, the mother of Isa, alayhi salam, who, based on the vow of her mother, spent early years in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside Masjid al-Aqsa, where she witnessed various miracles. So she is a woman of Jerusalem. Somebody who was dedicated in a service to Masjid al-Aqsa, and then, you know, based on the oppression that was meted out to her at that time, had to leave Jerusalem and go to other areas of Palestine. And this is being used as a metaphor for Palestinian women in Jerusalem, particularly Palestinian women who are in the service of Masjid al-Aqsa, the Murabitat, as they called Palestinian women who take a disproportionate amount of the burden in terms of breadwinning in Jerusalem, who face Israeli violence, who face Israeli detention, etc. So this hashtag and this online campaign Run From Turkey, which started early in January, continues into February, with Twitter storms, etc., is being used to highlight the historical role of women in Jerusalem, as well as the current challenges that they face.
Hafsab, jazakumullah for your time. We'll talk again next week, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.